Hi, everyone. Hey, this is Sue Marks with Food Thoughts. Hope you're doing great. I've got this crazy magazine. It's a Bon Appetit magazine, a travel magazine. There's all kinds of great stuff in here, but, you know, when I first got married, I got this apron that said, eat dessert first. Life is too uncertain. So here's a banana oatmeal cookie recipe. And notice the ingredients. These cookies add the perfect finish to brown bag lunches and are even great for a fast breakfast. Once again, notice the ingredients. Serves 12. 2 cups of old-fashioned oats. 1 teaspoon baking soda. 1 teaspoon cinnamon. 1 quarter teaspoon nutmeg. 1 quarter teaspoon ground ginger. 4 medium ripe apples. 1 quarter cup raw sunflower seeds. And finally, 1/3 cup of raisins or currants. So we're going to preheat the oven to 300 degrees. Line a baking sheet with parchment or spray with nonstick spray. Use a high-powered blender to process the oats into the consistency of flour. Right. Pour the oat flour into a mixing bowl and add the baking soda, the cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger. We're going to blend the bananas in the blender until completely smooth. Add to the oat mixture along with the sunflower seeds and raisins or currants. Mix well until combined. So finally, we use a 1 ounce cookie scoop equal to about 2 tablespoons to place spoonfuls of the cookie dough onto the baking sheet. Dip the scoop in water to keep the dough from sticking. Now that's a good idea. Tip right there. Use lightly moistened fingers to flatten each cookie slightly. Bake 15 minutes. Cool the cookies on a wire rack and store in an airtight container. It makes about 24 cookies. Doesn't that sound good? Banana oatmeal cookies. With the nutmeg, the ground ginger, the cinnamon. Yes, I think I'm going to make those. Sounds good. Okay, so here we go. Straight away, there's these beautiful dips. Many people will tell you that all you need to throw a good party are fun friends, loud music, and some booze. But in my opinion, it's not truly a good party unless there's dip, at least 3 kinds. Dips can be as involved, 7-layer, or uninvolved, open a package of hummus, as you want. But as with most things, I prefer somewhere in the middle, something quick that can be made ahead. So the key is to start with a base that is already undeniably delicious. Since I am a creamy dip person, this means sour cream, Greek yogurt, cream cheese, or ricotta, and a few tabs of Lactaid. Season your dairy product of choice with lots of salt, pepper, and something acidic like lemon juice or buttermilk until it's salty, tangy, and tasty all on its own. The way will happily eat straight seasoned cream cheese out of the bowl. I like to class up for guests with various mix-ins that I add to the dairy. I'll stir a little turmeric and tahini together and swirl into labneh, L-A-B-N-E-H, for a toasty, nutty dip. Mmm. A few spoonfuls of lemony salsa verde turns yogurt into an herby number. Mm-hmm. And I will drizzle chili oil over ricotta for a fiery, spicy dip. My favorite. You cannot believe how beautiful that. It's like a, well, just like a circle of this red and then with this cayenne pepper on top. Oh my goodness. To serve, do not feel limited to crackers, raw vegetables, tiny toasts, chips are all invited as long as they're sturdy enough to hang. No flimsy crackers or crushed potato chips are allowed. Okay, dip tips. Add liquids like buttermilk or lemon juice, a tablespoon at a time. There's a fine line between dippable and pourable, and you do not want to cross it. Right. Use a spoon to swirl colorful mix-ins such as salsa verde or chili oil into your creamy dip base in big streaks rather than stir them in completely. Yeah, you want to make it dramatic. Hold back a little bit of your mix in chopped herbs, sesame seeds, chili flakes to sprinkle on top, you know, for fun. More drama. It makes it more interesting, and that's something else to scoop up with a chip or a veggie, maybe. So, there you go. Okay, let's see what's my next folded over page. Oh, fantastic. Shrimp and basil stir fry. Why buy a whole bunch of basil for just one sprig? Here, two huge handfuls are wilted into charred shrimp for a sweet fragrance that offsets the spicy marinade. I don't know about you, but I love shrimp in all forms. We'll make four servings, three Fresno chilies coarsely chopped, six garlic cloves smashed, 1/4 cup sugar, 2 tablespoons fish sauce, 1 tablespoon kosher salt, 4 tablespoons vegetable or grapeseed oil divided, 1 pound large shrimp peeled and deveined, and finally 2 cups basil leaves, about 1 bunch, and then some cooked rice and lime wedges for serving. So we're going to blend the chilies, the garlic, sugar, fish sauce, salt, and 3 tablespoons oil in a blender until smooth. Transfer this marinade to a medium bowl, add the shrimp, and toss to coat. Let that sit for 10 minutes. You should see these shrimp. They're beautiful. Oh my goodness. Heat the remaining 1 tablespoon oil in a large nonstick skillet over medium high. Working in batches, if needed, to avoid crowding the pan, transfer the shrimp to the skillet, leaving marinade behind, and cook until deeply browned around the edges and the flesh is opaque, probably about 1 minute per side. Remove the pan from heat and add the basil. Toss vigorously until the basil is wilted, just like spinach does, you know. Transfer the shrimp mixture to plates served with rice and lime wedges alongside. So pretty. So you've got this reddish, large shrimp, reddish in color. They're kind of burnished. And you've got these pieces of basil on top. And then there's rice and lemons on the side. And there's one final tip is don't leave out the sugar. The shrimp take on great color as they caramelize. Right. Isn't that cool? It grabbed me. And here we go. Here is a spicy pork bowls with greens. Greens, I have been told, I've just did a DEXA scan test. So I need to up my calcium intake. And you can either do that with dairy, which, I don't know. Dairy to me is really fattening and produces a lot of mucus. So, but you can also do like leafy green leafy vegetables, spinach. I have spinach almost every day. Just cook it down. And lately I've been using this Meyer lemon infused olive oil. Oh my gosh, you cannot believe how great it tastes. Or you can sprinkle, once you've cooked it down, you can put some balsamic vinegar. There's a million things you can do with spinach, but that is one of those quality green leafy vegetables. So I'm all about leafy vegetables with anything. It's beautiful. And you know, tiny thinly sliced tenderloin marinates in almost no time. After just 10 minutes in the chili sauce, it's packed with flavor all the way through. Makes 4 servings. So 1 1/4 pound of pork tenderloin, 3 tablespoons sambal oelek, which is a hot red sauce, 2 tablespoons light brown sugar, 1 1-piece ginger peeled and finely grated, 1 garlic clove finely grated, 3 tablespoons soy sauce divided, 2 1/4 teaspoons toasted sesame oil divided, 3 tablespoons vegetable oil divided, kosher salt, 2 medium carrots peeled and sliced, 1 bunch of collard greens or Tuscan kale. Tuscan kale is the ones with the smoother leaves, not the real curly ones. The ribs and stems removed, leaves sliced. And then 1 tablespoon seasoned rice vinegar. We're going to have some cooked rice, thinly sliced scallions, and some gochujang, that Korean hot pepper paste for serving. Oh my goodness, I love that stuff too. So freeze the tenderloin until firm around the edges, 30 to 45 minutes if time permits. And that's so that you can easily cut that the way you want. Combine the sambal oelek, the brown sugar, the ginger, garlic, 2 tablespoons soy sauce, and 2 teaspoons sesame oil in a resealable plastic bag. Thinly slice the pork with a long, sharp knife. Add that to the marinade, seal the bag, knead to coat, and let sit about 10 minutes and up to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Heat 1 tablespoon vegetable oil in a large nonstick skillet over medium-high heat. Add half of the pork in a single layer. Season lightly with salt. You want to cook that undisturbed until browned underneath about 1 minute. Then toss the pork. Continue to cook, tossing until cooked through about 1 minute more. Transfer to a plate. Repeat with another 1 tablespoon vegetable oil in the remaining pork. And then you want to wipe out your skillet. Then we're going to heat the remaining 1 tablespoon vegetable oil in the skillet over medium high. Add the carrots in a single layer. Cook undisturbed until starting to soften and brown underneath about 2 minutes. Add your collard greens and toss to wilt. Cook, tossing occasionally until the vegetables are crisp tender about 2 minutes. So you've got this combination of the burnished carrots and the collard greens. So pretty, really. Combine vinegar and remaining 1 tablespoon soy sauce and 1/4 teaspoon of the sesame oil in a small bowl. We're going to divide the rice among bowls. Arrange the vegetables and pork over the rice. Drizzle with the dressing and top with scallions. So you can serve the gochujang alongside. Some people like that hot spice. Now, will that be beautiful? So you have carrots and greens and this beautiful marinated pork. Whew. Yummy. Fortunately, I've already eaten, so my stomach probably will not be growling, but otherwise, probably so. Here we go. The easiest chicken adobo. For adobo, that's sweet, salty, tangy, garlicky, and ready in a fraction of time. Don't peel and slice each garlic clove. Just cut open a whole head and simmer it in the sauce. Okay. So we need 1 tablespoon vegetable oil, 4 skin-on, bone-in chicken thighs, 4 chicken drumsticks, 1 head of garlic halved crosswise, 5 dried bay leaves, 3/4 cup of distilled white vinegar, 3/4 cup soy sauce, 1 tablespoon light or dark brown sugar, 2 green chilies, such as serrano or jalapeno, thinly sliced, remove the seeds if desired, and then some freshly ground black pepper, and of course, some cooked rice for serving. All these dishes use cooked rice, just a bed of cooked rice. Let's see, heat oil in a large Dutch oven over medium. Cook the chicken thighs skin side down, lifting the pieces with tongs once or twice toward the end to let fat flow underneath, and turning the drumsticks as needed to brown both sides until the skin is crisp and golden brown, 7 to 10 minutes. Transfer to a plate and turn thighs skin side up. We're going to add garlic, bay leaves, vinegar, soy sauce, brown sugar, and half of the chilies to that same pot. Bring to a simmer, reduce heat to low, and cook, stirring constantly until the sugar is dissolved. Season generously with pepper. Then we return the chicken to the pot, arrange skin side up. Cover and cook gently, adjusting the heat to maintain a bare simmer and turning the pieces halfway through until the chicken is very tender and the meat is pulling away from the bones but not falling apart, 35 to 40 minutes. Isn't this cool? Transfer the chicken to a clean plate. Bring the braising liquid to a boil over medium-high and cook, stirring often until thick enough to coat a spoon, about 5 minutes. You're just reducing that stock. Remove from the heat, return chicken to the pot, turning to coat in that beautiful sauce. Serve chicken over rice topped with remaining chili and more pepper. Woohoo! I think those are three really good recipes right there. Now, here's something totally awesome. A strawberry granola crisp. 4 to 6 servings. This crisp is barely sweetened, taking advantage of in-season berries instead. So 2 pounds of strawberries, hulled, halved, quartered, if large. 3 tablespoons raw sugar. 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice. 1 tablespoon plus 1.5 teaspoons cornstarch. Some kosher salt. 1/4 cup extra virgin olive oil. 2 tablespoons pure maple syrup. 1 cup old-fashioned oats. 1/3 cup of sliced almonds. 1/3 cup unsweetened shredded coconut. 1/4 cup all-purpose flour. And then plain yogurt, whipped cream, or vanilla ice cream for serving. Totally optional. Place a rack in lower third of the oven and preheat to 350 degrees. Toss your strawberries, raw sugar, lemon juice, cornstarch, and a pinch of salt in a large bowl to combine. Then transfer to a 9-inch diameter pie dish or 1-quart baking dish. Stir oil and maple syrup in a medium bowl to combine. Add oats, almonds, coconut, flour, and 2 pinches of salt, and work until the mixture comes together in loose clumps. Scatter that over the filling. Place the crisp on a foil-lined rimmed baking sheet and bake until topping is golden brown and the filling is bubbling 35 to 45 minutes. Looks fantastic. Whew. Let cool at least 30 minutes before serving. Serve this crisp with yogurt, whipped cream, or ice cream if you desire. You can do this ahead. Crisp can be baked one day ahead. Let that cool completely, cover, and chill. So you've got the crisp that you're going to add to that beautiful, flavorful filling. And then you can combine them, you know, later. I like it. It's great. What else? Yeah, I had fun reading this entire magazine. There's, oh, goodness gracious. If you love this, if you love lamb like me, makes 4 servings, 7-spice grilled lamb chops with parsley salad. It's not like we're going to stop you from making 5 or 6-spice chops, but this 7-spice blend is typical of the region and full of dimension. Try it on chicken or pork chops as well. And the region, I believe, is, it's in Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon. Nice. Okay, so ingredients. 1 cup plain whole milk yogurt, not Greek yogurt. And here are our spices. 1 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper. 1 teaspoon ground coriander. 1 teaspoon ground cumin. 1 teaspoon paprika. 1/2 teaspoon of ground cardamom. 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon. 1/2 teaspoon ground nutmeg. Those 3 are too strong, I guess. 12 untrimmed lamb rib chops, about 3 pounds, patted dry. I love lamb chops. It's a splurge, but basically I just buy those and I pretty much just saute them, pan fry them because I'm too impatient, but they're always wonderful. Anyway, 12, I said that, kosher salt, 1 small red onion, very thinly sliced, 1 cup of coarsely chopped parsley, 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice, and 2 teaspoons of sumac. So, sumac, a tart, citrusy spice generally sold in ground form, can be found at Middle Eastern markets, especially food stores and online. Yeah, food. A tart, citrusy spice. Mixed yogurt, black pepper, coriander, cumin, paprika, cardamom, cinnamon, and nutmeg in a large bowl. Those are your 7 spices. Season both sides of the lamb chops generously with salt and add to the bowl with marinade. Turn lamb in marinade to coat. Cover and chill for at least 3 hours and up to 12 hours. Let the lamb sit then at room temperature 1 hour before grilling. Prepare a grill for medium-high heat. Grill the lamb to desired doneness about 3 minutes per side for medium rare. Let rest 5 to 10 minutes. Meanwhile, toss onion, parsley, lemon juice, and sumac with a pinch of salt in a medium bowl. Serve the lamb chops with parsley salad on top. Oh my gosh. Let me see that picture again. So beautiful. Yeah, we see the thin sliced onions, the thin sliced parsley, and then, of course, all the different wonderful flavors that added to that. It's beautiful. And flavor, yes. Well, here's another beautiful lamb dish, but I'm going to move forward one lamb dish at a time. You know what I mean? Okay, let's see. Behold the king of antipasti. You can tell a lot about a place from its antipasto platter. And at Zapoli in Collingswood, New Jersey, the news is good. Chef Jerry Bardino presents a veg-heavy food tour's worth of Sicilian flavors, textures, and colors. I don't think there's recipes for this, but check out this beautiful platter. He's got like a tablespoon of tuna and white bean salad. He's got slices of frittata. It's flavored with saffron and full of spaghetti, just like they do in the old country. So I think you make a spaghetti pie and then cut that into chunks. That's crazy. Some baked ricotta, sauteed asparagus, a break for the palate, nothing added but salt, pepper, and olive oil. Yeah, I roast it like that all the time. Roasted red peppers, Chile mushroom salad, some fresh mozzarella, those, you know, buffalo balls, charred corn salad, some of my favorite things, fresh kernels sourced from New Jersey and mixed with ricotta and chives, ooh, grilled zucchini, eggplant caponata, a Sicilian classic thanks to red wine vinegar and warm spices. So I'm just going along. That was the left side of the plate. Now we're going to go up the right. Sun-dried tomatoes, imported dry from Italy in winter. Local and dried in-house come summer. Stuffed cherry peppers. Ooh. Squash agrodolce. Bathed in tangy dressing for that sweet and sour Sicilian contrast. I don't even know what agrodolce is. I can't tell by looking. Some aged provolone cheese. Roasted long hot pepper. Roasted cauliflower with wild anchovy. Ooh, yummy. Soppressata. Salty, fatty, and perfect for pairing with creamy cheese. Mm-hmm. Mortadella. Another little lunch meat type thing. And then I know I mentioned that already. Tuna and white bean salad. Yeah. That is like, I guess if you can make it to Collingswood, New Jersey, you can have this beautiful plate of antipasto. So gorgeous. And here's a picture. Nobody juggles an armful of appetizers like Silvio Frelick. You should see this plate. There's salami underneath. There's these big wedges of this beautiful cheese. Then there's some kind of meats underneath and these big chunks of, I mean, are those like slices of brie or something like that? And then there's more slices of meat with red peppers, black olives, green olives. Wow, that's a major dish. And on his other arm, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 plates of salad. He's walking to a table that way. So this is the hard part of my reading is basically I'm running out of time and I still have things I want to impart. Well, let's talk about basically almost everything you need to know and nothing you don't. Tricks and tips and tricks. Eat more herbs. There's a time and place for pungent, hearty herbs like rosemary, sage, and thyme, and that time is fall and winter. As the weather warms up, we want to bask in the grassy green glow of the season's brightest stars. We're talking about soft herbs, the Fantastic Five, parsley, cilantro, dill, basil, and mint. Lettuce tender and mild enough to be deployed with abandon. These are the leaves we want in everything from pilafs to pastas, meatballs to dips, from now until the first frost. So I guess this is a little bit dated. But let's just read the basics nevertheless. A smattering of whatever herbs you have in the fridge will turn a simple green salad into something special. Add them by the handful. We're familiar with the market to compost pipeline. You buy a bunch of herbs for a recipe. You pluck a few leaves for garnish, and then you let the rest languish in the crisper drawer. The easiest way to break that cycle, just use more herbs. A recipe that calls for a few tablespoons can usually handle a few more. And there are plenty of dishes that benefit from a mess of chopped up orphan herbs, frittatas, any green or grain salad, your standard issue yogurt dip. Be generous. Ordinary meals will feel more alive, like a room where you just open all the windows and you will have rescued your precious herbs from an untimely demise. Isn't that true? You use a couple sprigs and then it just, you can watch it decay over time because you don't use it. Keep them fresh, ready, and clean and ready to go. Washing your herbs keeps them perky longer and also makes it far more likely that you'll reach for them on a whim. It's also mandatory if they feel gritty or are visibly dirty. So here's how to do it. Trim the ends of the herbs. If the stems are thick and you're going to discard them later, you might as well pick the leaves now too. Number two, place in a salad spinner filled with cold water. Agitate to loosen the dirt. Wait for it to settle. Lift out the herbs and repeat if still dirty. Number three, spin the herbs dry, then place them on a sheet of paper towels. Here's the part, the key part. Number four, roll up the now damp paper towels. Store in a plastic bag in the fridge for up to 1 week. And that's the same thing that I've learned over time with lettuce, is you want to clean that, get it really wet, get it clean. And then, you know, you can store that in damp paper towels for about a week as well. Same thing with herbs. There you go. Isn't that cool? I think that's all I can really read today. But that was a good little primer on the... Yeah, there's a couple more things I didn't get to. Oh, well, I'm going to have to just shelve that for another time. But thank you for listening today, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful week. The weather is changing. It's so exciting, isn't it? Gloves and hats pretty soon. Anyway, I will talk to you soon. It's Sue Marth with Food Thoughts. Take care. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again. Bye-bye.